This morning we're in the middle of a story. As we hear the gospel read, and as I preach for a few minutes, preparing us to come to the table, we're in the middle of the story where this woman, married five times, now with a man who's not her husband, meets Jesus, and Jesus changes her life. So radical is the transformation in her life that she heads back to the town she's from and begins to tell people about the wonder of who she has just met. As our elder Tommy Bain comes and reads this narrative, let's stand, lean into the story, and look at what is presented to us.
The Gospel of John, chapter 4, beginning in verse 27. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest?' Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true: one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." The word of the Lord.
Father in heaven, we so come to you with a spirit of thanksgiving. So grateful for this church. We are in a place where we can proclaim that Jesus is who he said he is. And that we can point people to the one who is the Savior of the world. That we can find comfort and hope no matter what our life looks like. No matter what decisions we may have recently made that we think you would find offensive or know you would find offensive, we come to a place where we can be forgiven, where we can have a relationship with you, where we can be confident and secure that we're going to heaven, and we can have that life of eternity promised to us, but begin to experience that life even now. Well, Lord, we know that with this many people here, there are many who come with struggles heavy on their hearts and minds. Oh, Lord, speak clearly to us today. Reveal yourself to us. Show us what we can have in you, Jesus, our Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. We've been in this story for the last few weeks, and it's an amazing story. It's a story about a woman who went to get water. She went to get water at a time of day when she would not be seen by anyone. It wasn't the normal pattern to go to the watering hole, to go to the watering well at noon. But because her life was somewhat scandalous, because her life was one that people would gossip about, make judgments about, she didn't want to be seen. She had been married 5 times. And the man she was with now, this passage tells us, was not her husband. The pain, the rejection, looking for love in all the wrong places, all those things present in her life now come crashing in as she's moving towards this place, hoping to be alone just to get water, fill her jar, and go back to town when she sees a man. And the man is Jesus. And they begin to have a conversation. And this conversation changes her life. She's talking to God. Jesus, fully God, fully man. And as they begin to have a conversation, Jesus reveals to her that he is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the one whom prophets have been proclaiming will one day come. And here he is on a course to meet this woman at this well to offer her himself, which is living water, life-giving water, water that will go into all eternity. And she says, give me this water. Last week I told you that God, the Father, seeks broken people to worship him in spirit and truth. Today what I want us to see is that God uses broken people to draw other people into a relationship with him so that they may worship him in spirit and truth. It's amazing that God orchestrated this meeting, this woman on her way to the well, Jesus on his way to the well, so that she would then take this message about Jesus Christ and tell the people that she was so afraid of knowing about her. It's amazing, this story. It really is. I want to ask you a question. If you're a Christian and you're here, how did God spread the news to you? Who did God use to bring the news about Jesus Christ into your life? Was it your parents? Or was it a sibling? Was it your child? Was it a friend, a roommate? Was it your spouse? Was it a Sunday school teacher? Or a vacation Bible school teacher? Or a counselor at Kanakuk? Or Pine Cove? Or Sky Ranch? Or some other camp? Was it a youth pastor? Or a young life leader? Who did God use in your life specifically to spread the good news of who Jesus is? That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Ordinarily, God uses people in order to bring that news. Ordinarily, that means he uses broken people like you, like me, to bring that good news to other broken people. And that's what he's about to do through this woman. So who was it in your life? I want you to think about that this morning and give God praise. Maybe for you this morning, it will be revealed that someone's telling you about Jesus for the first time in a way where you say, I believe. And years from now, you'll look back on March 1st, 2015 and say, that was the day I professed faith in Christ. Could happen. Only God has the power to change a person. And he can do it in a second. This woman did not go to this well seeking anything spiritual. She did not go to this well seeking to have an encounter with God. She went to the well just to get water. And she went to the well at a time of day when nobody would see her getting the water. And there she meets Jesus. Imagine her fear. He's a Jew. He's a man. I'm a Samaritan, she says. I don't talk to men. I'm a woman. This is awkward and uncomfortable. Plus, I don't want anybody to know about me. And she ends up talking with the one who knows everything about her. And that one, Jesus, he knows everything about you. There's nothing you can hide from him. There's nothing I can hide from him. So how does he respond to people when he sees all of their brokenness? Well, his response is grace. His response is love. And so powerful is grace and love and acceptance that this woman, in a moment, has her life changed so much that she now leaves the water well to go back to the town for the purpose of telling those people whom she was afraid to even see at the water well about Jesus. One of my favorite nuances to this story is the verse where it speaks of how she leaves. Verse 28, listen to this. Jesus and this woman have been talking. Jesus says to her, I am the Messiah. I who speak to you am he. It's ego am I. I am. It's a big statement. And then it says, after the disciples come back to the water well, the woman left. Verse 28 says that the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" I have been captivated by the scene over the last few weeks. And one aspect of the story that I'm captivated by is, why did the woman leave her jar at the well? Did you see that? So the woman left her jar. Now, why did she come to the watering well? She came for one reason: to get water. She did not anticipate this encounter. She did not anticipate a transformation. She did not anticipate having a conversation with the God of the universe. But she did. Some of you have come today not really anticipating much. You're here for a whole host of reasons. Might it be, like it was in her life, that something behind the scenes is happening even in your life, where the Lord is here to say, "I offer you myself. I offer you living water. I offer you forgiveness. I offer you eternal life." Whatever happened in this conversation with this woman, however Jesus revealed himself that he's the Messiah, this woman's life was changed. And so the word tells us, as John's carried along, the writer of this gospel, is carried along by the Holy Spirit, that the woman left the water jar and went away into town. So I've been asking lots of people over the last few weeks, why do you think the woman left the well, the water at the well? And everybody's had fun with that question. I don't know exactly why. It doesn't tell us. But I can imagine a couple things. First, water jars are heavy. And she knows they're heavy. She goes there every day to get water. So I believe that something so significant happened in her life that she felt so passionate about the transformation that was taking place in her that she had to get back to the place she had come from to tell people about this man, Jesus. And so the thought of carrying her water back at that moment seemed a burden. It's not what I need to do. What I need to do now is get to that town and tell people who I have just met. And so she goes. I also believe that she knew she was coming back, because when she talks to the people in town, she says, "Come and see." So I believe the woman knew, as she was heading towards town, that she was going to be encouraging people to come back and see the man who she left at the water well. I also think it's possible that in John's unique way of writing, that he's revealing to us that there's something greater than even real water to meet a real physical thirst. And that is this living water that you can find in Jesus. And she has tasted that. And I think it's interesting that as Jesus meets with his disciples, they're asking him and urging him to eat. And he says, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." I think this woman had tasted that water in such a way that physical water wasn't the priority of her life at that moment. And she went urgently to tell people. But who did she go tell? This is amazing. She went to tell the people who had judged her. She went to tell the people in town who knew about her life. She went to tell the people who, I believe, had been so harsh and cruel to her over time that she didn't want to see any of them, even when she went to the watering well. But meeting Jesus was so great. Meeting Jesus and having a relationship with him was so great that she wanted other people to have a chance to taste this living water. So the fear of going back and being rejected, the fear of going back and being rebuked, the fear of going back and being mocked, it had lifted because something far more beautiful, far more powerful was happening inside her. It was the living God saving her. And so this woman, a new creature, had a testimony. If you're a Christian, you have a testimony. And though the details of your testimony and my testimony will differ in terms of time and location and some of the extra parts of life, One thing that our testimonies have in common, if they're true Christian testimonies, true Christian response to Jesus, is that they always point to Jesus. Every Christ-centered testimony is powerful because the people who hear the story, though they may get caught up in a lot of the details of what happened before you became a Christian, a truly Christ-centered testimony points people to the one and only one who can save. And that's what this woman does. Do you realize that the gospel writer, John, gives us a glimpse into her testimony? And it's very short. Here's her testimony. It's in verse 29. Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Come and see Jesus. That's her testimony. Come and see Jesus. He's the man who told me everything about my life. Now think about that for a minute. He told her things about her life that she had no idea how he knew. But then he revealed to her that he's God. He is Messiah. He is the Messiah. He's the one who saves. Are you afraid of God knowing everything about your life? It's really a silly fear, because whether you're afraid of it or not, whether you like it or not, he knows everything. Isn't it foolish that we think we can hide it from him? He knows everything. And this woman knew that he knew everything about her. And instead of her being terrified by that, instead she was embraced by his love and his mercy. So great was his love and mercy for her that she had to leave and tell others about the irresistible grace that she had just found in this man, Jesus. Her testimony was simple. Come and see a man who told me everything about my life. Now, I can imagine that when people heard that testimony that knew her, they had to think, well, I wonder if he knows everything about your life. I wonder if he knows what the whole town talks about often. It didn't come up. You know why? Because God's grace is so powerful. God can save people that you never thought it possible to be saved. And he can save them in a second. All we're told is that she went and said, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Then it says, they went out of the town and were coming to him. So the woman who went away from the town by herself, hoping to see no one, meets Jesus, returns to her town and says, come and see a man who told me everything about myself, everything I ever did. And they went. I don't know why. Except that God uses broken people to draw broken people to himself. And they went. Christian, if you're in Christ and you're a Christian, who told you about Jesus? It was a broken person. Maybe a mom, maybe a dad, maybe a pastor, maybe Billy Graham on TV or at a crusade. Maybe somebody that came to your house door by door. Maybe on an airplane, I don't know. But God uses broken people to save broken people. Verse 39, 10 verses later, John tells us that many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. My friends, a Christ-centered testimony is powerful. And if you are a Christian, you have one. But in giving your testimony, you must point people to Jesus. Jesus is the one who saves. He can save in a second. He can save you right now. The Samaritans speak about her testimony, and here's what they say. Her testimony was this. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked Jesus to stay with them. And he stayed there for 2 days. And many more people believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we ourselves believe, but now because we've heard it ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." That's how God does it. God takes broken people like you and like me, and he saves us that we might worship him in spirit and truth. And then God takes broken people like you and like me, and he uses us to draw others to himself. If you're a Christian, you have a testimony. And maybe today, if you're honest and you would say, "I'm not a Christian," maybe today is the day he's going to save you, or the beginning of a season where he's drawing you to himself. I urge you to think about what happened in this woman's life, how broken she was, and how God used this broken woman to draw other broken people from that town that she was afraid to be seen in. So she goes to the well alone. God uses broken people to save other broken people. If you're a Christian, you have a testimony. Someone brought you that news. And maybe today you came to church with someone who knows that news and wants you to know it. Maybe today for the first time you're saying, "I understand. I need Jesus." I pray it so. He can save you today. But one final thing before we come to the table. As Christians, we have a testimony, but we also have a town. We have places where God has put us, in families, in neighborhoods, at work, at recreation, in clubs, on boards, in places where we get our hair cut or colored. And those are towns. Places where you as a Christian can begin to pray for people to come and see the Jesus who has saved you. Places where you can pray that God would give you the opportunity to tell people, "Hey, can I show you Jesus in his word?" You may be afraid. You may be afraid. But draw hope from the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ that so radically transformed this woman's life that those fears were lifted from her in such a way that she left her water jar because she wanted to quickly go to the place where she knew people to simply say, "Come and see a man." That's our testimony too. It's come and see the man who is the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Jesus, the feast that we are about to partake of is your gift to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would draw us all to you now. Lord, if there are any present today who have in their heart, they know they don't know you, reveal yourself to them. And if that's happening in your heart and you want so much to know you are a Christian and saved by grace, confess your sins to the Lord even now and ask his forgiveness. Place your faith in Jesus as the one who is God and Savior of the world, the only way of salvation. It's that simple. He has done everything necessary to draw us in. And oh Lord, for those who are already in Christ, would you take these elements and feed us, encourage us, give us hope for another day, and give us a vision of your glory that we might be like this woman, eager to make known the name of Jesus, pointing people to you, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.